We begin from Torah Resh Nun Gimel, chapter 253. We dedicate the shir today to a number of yahrzeits of close friends, Devora Bas Reb Tzvi, the mother of a close friend, Harry Fox, and Toibo Itl, the mother of Galia and Devora. Rabbi Nezal begins, Da you should know, Shemiyut Sheino Humemait Taivas Niyuf. If a person sleeps less, that will decrease their drive for chas v'shalom relations that are not kosher. It was the whole desire, the desire for women, which is improper, will be decreased by a person depriving themselves of sleep. And Rabbi Nezal explains this now. Ki yesh eish ba'odom mitchilas hatoylodo. There is a certain fire inside of a person from the time that the person is born, and this fire inside of the person is the root of all the desires, all the physical and materialistic desires of the person. And in addition, all of the food and drink that a person takes into the body, this fire that's burning inside of the person consumes it, consumes all the food and drink, and by sleeping less, this fire inside of the person is weakened, it's not burning as brightly, it's not raging in the sense. And thereby all the desires, all the physical, materialistic desires of the person are also lessened. Ach shemazik l'hamoyach miyut shena. However, Rabbi Nezal says, when a person is sleeping less than what they actually need, that does harm to the person's brain. V'chein ribui shena. And so too, excessive sleep, a person sleeping more than they need, also harms the brain. When a person forces themselves to sleep a lot, meaning more than they really need, that also weakens this fire. It decreases that fire burning inside of the person from which all the taivos draw their energy. And this also causes harm to the brain. It's only when a person sleeps the right amount, the amount that that person needs, azai taivas hamishgol betokfa v'koicho, then the sexual desire is in full power, kiloi nechlash ho'esh hanal, because that fire inside the person has not been weakened the way it would be weakened by the person having either less sleep or more sleep than what they really need. Before we continue, I remember hearing a shiur from my Rebbe Rav Rosenfeld Zichrono Livracha where he discussed this topic. People ask sometimes, what's the right amount for a person to sleep? And there are different opinions in halacha regarding this, and obviously it's related to the person. A person has to be able to see what their needs are and to be honest about it. There's a pasuk that's brought, Oz Yeshan, Oz Yonuach Loi, that when a person will sleep, then they'll be rested. And the word Oz, Aleph Zion, is 8, the number 8. So one of the opinions is that a healthy amount of sleep is 8 hours per 24 hours. However, there are others that say that the Pasuk said, Oz Yonuach Loi, that if a person sleeps 8 hours, then they'll be rested. The word loy, lamed vav, is 36. So what it actually means is that by taking the 36 plus the 8, which is 44, 8 hours is what a person needs for 2 days. So it's 4 hours a day of sleep. And these are two of the extreme opinions that are brought, 8 hours, 4 hours, and there are some poskim that suggest 6 hours. And my Rebbe explained that obviously a person has to see what works for themselves to try to be able to get along with the right amount of sleep. And the more a person's mind is developed, Rabbi Nezal brings in another place, it helps the person be able to get along with less sleep. But obviously this requires careful supervision. Now Rabbi Nezal adds, Kol ze shomanu mitoich sichos of Hakdoshim. All of this we heard from Rabbi Nachman's discussions. V'toichem kavanosei bozer loybir heitev. However, Rabbeinu Zal didn't really explain exactly the point he was trying to get across here. You know, he tells us that there is this fire and it burns inside of a person and there's sleeping too little and sleeping too much and sleeping the right amount, and when you sleep the right amount, the fire is at its strongest. Ach kefima shehivanti misichosoi. However, Rabbeinu Zal says, what I understood from Rabbeinu Zal's discussions was hakavono she'ein moil shum eitzo lemait taivas niuf al yudei eze tarbula. What Rabbeinu Zal was trying to teach us was that there's no physical solution, there's no trick that a person can do that will weaken their sinful desire for pigama bris. Because if a person tries these tricks of sleeping less, depriving themselves of sleep, or sleeping more, because it would be possible to weaken that desire inside of the person by depriving oneself of sleep or sleeping excessively. However, these two harm the brain of the person. The person will not be able to think properly. Al kein, therefore, ein chochma ve'ein eitza keneged zeh. There's no trick, there's no strategy or advice that a person can give a person regarding this. Rak lehischazek lihiyois gibor lichboishes yitzroi. The only advice is for the person to strengthen themselves, to be strong, and to be a warrior, in a sense, in conquering the evil inclination, the Yetzer Hara, who tries to mess up a person with sinful thoughts and sinful actions in Pegama Bris. V'Hashem yazor loy lesalek taiva zois meitoi. And then if the person will put in real effort in Shmira Seinayim, not looking at what they're not supposed to look at, trying not to think about things they're not supposed to think about, following Rabbeinu Zal's advice, that when the wrong type of thoughts come into a person's mind, change the channel. Just switch to thinking about something else. Don't bang your head in the wall. Don't scream. Just change the channel, meaning switch your mind to think about anything else at a time, because there cannot be two thoughts on a person's screen at the same time. A person can only have one thought. So if a person is able to put their mind on something else, that'll be an automatic disconnect from sinful thoughts, from those things. And even if it keeps coming back, the Yetzirah sometimes doesn't quit right away. But if a person is sincere and they put in genuine effort and they daven, they plead with Hashem to help them overcome this, Hashem will certainly help the person. But this is a lifelong battle. The Zohar HaKadosh says that the main test that a Jew comes to this world to overcome is this test of Taivas Niyuf, Taivas Noshim, the wrong type, sinful association with women. And a person has to try very, very hard with tefillah, with Torah, with simcha, by coming close to tzaddikim, to be able to win, to be able to pass this test. Any questions? We continue. Torah Reish Nun Dalet. Rabbeinu Zal says, Einayim heim dvorim elyonim ugvoyim moed. A person's eyes are something that's on a very, very high level spiritually. We know on a physical level, the Gemara says that a suma choshev kameis, that a person who cannot see, a person who's blind, is considered dead. So we see that the eyes represent life. And we know that the Zohar HaKadosh refers to the eyes as the windows of the neshama. When a person is learning Torah, a person learns with their eyes. The pasuk says, "V'hoyu einecho royois es moirecho." Your eyes will look at your teacher. So the eyes are very holy and very special. V'heim royim tomid dvorim gedolim v'noiroim. And a person's eyes are constantly seeing very special things, great, awesome things. V'imhoyo ha'odom zoichel einayim ksherim. And if a person would have real pure eyes, if a person would keep their eyes really pure and kosher, by not looking at anything they're not supposed to look at, the person would get to know very holy things, very lofty thoughts, just by what the eyes see. Kihem royois tomid, because the eyes are constantly seeing special things. Ach she'eno yodea ma roye. However, it doesn't register in the person's mind. The person doesn't know what they saw. And Rabbein Azal is going to explain this now. Kemoy lamoshel, for example, this could be compared to kishemavirin dovar lifnei einei ha'odom b'ha'avoro u'b'mehirus godol. When somebody passes something in front of your eyes quickly, very quickly, you have a paper that has writing on it, all kinds of notes on it, and a person passes it before your eyes quickly. V'hine v'azai ein ha'odom yodea maro. The person does not know. Yes, the person, okay, tell me what it said on the paper. Everyone said, I don't know what it said. What do you mean? You saw it. It was right in front of your eyes. Sure, it was in front of my eyes. V'hine af shebisho shevira dover lefnei einov, bevadai ro'o oisoi beri'i agmura. Rabbi Nizal explains, even though at the time that this paper was being passed in front of the person's eyes, they definitely saw everything on the paper, 100%. Im kolze ein yoidea maroa. Despite that, the person does not know what they saw. They couldn't make out any of the words, any of the letters. Ki af she'enov ro hadover b'shleimus, because despite the fact that their eyes definitely saw the thing perfectly, im kolze, despite that, machmas hamehirus, because of how quickly it was passed in front of the eyes, loyhoya penai birdei sheyovi horus ladas, there wasn't enough time for the eyes, the nerves in the eyes, to transfer that picture to the brain, so that it should register in the person's brain, sheyeda maros, that the person should know and be able to interpret correctly what they saw. Kileda hadovor shero, because in order for a person to know what they saw, ze toloi badas, that's dependent on the person's brain. That requires the brain being involved. It's not enough that the eyes saw it. Veloze tzorech ktsas zman, and that requires a little bit of time. Sheyasha ktsas hadovor hanira lifnei einov, that this object that's being viewed should stay in front of the eyes for a few moments, bichdei sheyovoi veyoshit koyach haro'is ladas esadov hanira, to give the eye enough time to transfer to the brain the image that the eye saw, kedei sheyeda bahadas mashro, so that the person's brain will know what they saw. The mind will be able to interpret correctly what they saw. Umachmas hamehirus, however, because of how quickly it passed in front of the eyes, loiro hadovo rak bekoyach ro'is, the person only saw the object with their sense of sight. Avaloihoyozman lohishit hadovo ladas. However, there wasn't enough time to transfer that picture to the mind. V'alkein eino yoidea ma'roa. And that's why the person doesn't know what they saw. So this is the moshel. Now Rabbein Azal says, v'chein ha'odom roye be'enov tomid dvorim gedoilim. Similarly, every Jew sees with their eyes great things, very holy images. Hainu marois v'chezioinois, visions and revelations, spiritual revelations, things like the prophets saw. Ach shehu kemoi shemavirin lefanav ba'avora bi'alma u'bemehirus godol. However, if the person isn't on the level spiritually to be worthy of seeing those things, of being able to actually know what they saw, then what happens is it passes quickly, too quickly. U'bemehirus godol. It's as if it's passed by very quickly. Alkein eino yodea maror. And for this reason, the person doesn't know what they saw. And Rabbein Azal says, v'hovein, understand this. This is why we make a bracha every morning. We say, Baruch atah Hashem Elokeinu melech ha'olam, poikeach ivrim. Blessed are you, Hashem, who gives wisdom, knowledge, to those who are blind. The term poikeach means to open the eyes, but a pikeach is also a smart person. We're asking Hashem to allow us to be able to take into our mind these things that the eyes view that could be a tremendous benefit to the person. There's a pasuk in Tehillim where David HaMelech says, Gal Einai, Hashem, open my eyes, Va'abito Niflois Mitoirosecho, and let me be zeicher to see wonders from your Torah. Here Rabbeinu Zal is telling us that again, people are shown things very often, but unfortunately it doesn't register in our minds because of the fact that we're not worthy of it. So even though at one point in time we're going to be shown, hey, you saw this, I saw it, but I wasn't zeicher to be able to know what I saw and to be able to really benefit from it. So a person would say, then what's the purpose to seeing it? Why is it passed in front of our eyes? The answer is Hashem is offering the opportunity. He's giving us the opportunity. Whether a person chooses to connect to it or not, Lahavdil, it's like a station that's broadcasting. People don't have to connect with it. People don't have to turn on the channel or turn on the device to connect to it. But the broadcasting is being done. Hashem is sending messages constantly to every single person. Messages that can serve to bring the person closer to Hashem. That can give the person a connection to Hashem. To the degree that we're zeichet to purify ourselves and to elevate ourselves, to that degree we'll be zeichet to be able to know what we're seeing and to be able to benefit from it. Any questions? Okay, we continue. The next chapter is very short, but very meaningful. Kishehodom humamin bahatzadik beli shum das, when a person believes in a tzaddik without any das, without understanding what the tzaddik is about, without understanding what this is really all about, efshir loy lipoil meheremuna, it's possible for the person to fall from that level of faith. Ki me'emuna levad efshir lipoil. Because if a person has only emuna, it's not a strong enough connection to ensure the person will be able to hold on tightly. Aval im yesh loy gam das. But if in addition to emuna, the person also learns as much as they can, a person tries to understand as much as they can about the concept of a tzaddik and our relationship with a tzaddik and how that's supposed to help us. Shemevin gam bahadas, whereby the person also understands it intellectually, azai yef shaloi lipoel, then that person will not fall. It'll be impossible for the person to fall. And this is an incredible, important message regarding this combination of emuna and das. We speak about the sun and the moon. We speak about Torah and Tefillah. These are always referred to in Sifrei Kabbalah and Sifrei Chassidus. The concept of Emunah is compared to the moon, which has no light of its own. It's a reflection of the light of the sun. So the moon is like faith, where faith is something that a person cannot see, doesn't see, and they don't understand. That's Emunah. That's why when we say the Kriya Shema, for example, we cover our eyes. And Das, the kind of Das we're talking about here, that's the sun. That's the Chochmas Odom Toyer Ponov. The wisdom, the knowledge of a person lights up a path in front of the person. And we need both of these in order for a person to succeed in their Yiddishkeit, to succeed in life. A person has to constantly be trying to learn more and more, but not rely on their knowledge, but to supplement it with a lot of emuna faith, so that the things that I don't understand and certain things that I can't understand, I don't have to. I believe. I believe in Hashem. I believe in the Torah. I believe in the tzaddik. As much as I can learn about the Torah and learn about the tzaddik, I'm happy to do it. I know it'll help me. But the person's using both of these. These two, the combination of these two, Rabbeinu Zal says, azai yef shaloi lipoil, will make it impossible for the person to fall, chas v'shalom. Any questions? This is why, for example, it's told that Rav Nosson Zal once gave a shiur to his Talmidim, and his shiurim were spectacular. The people would sit at the shiur sometimes and feel a bitul habechira. They would feel that now it's no test, and the Satan cannot test me anymore, because I feel such a love and respect for Hashem that there's nothing that could challenge it. And after Rav Nosson Zal completed the shir, he said to his students, "Our words, if you will not sandwich them with a lot of tefillah, heaven help you." Meaning he wanted to make it perfectly clear to them that the das alone is not enough. You must combine it with tefillah, with emunah. And that combination, that's really a winning combination. The next chapter, Torah Resh Nun Vav, chapter 256. Rabbeinu Zal says that we know the Zohar HaKadosh tells us that the entire Torah is the names of Hashem. And there are many words in the Torah that we would never imagine that this is a name of Hashem, and it is. And there are certain psukim in the Torah which we look at, we don't see the name of Hashem in it, but it's there. We had it in yesterday's Torah reading that we had, in Parsha Shmois, for example, where Moshe Rabbeinu says to Hashem, "I'm going to come to the Jewish people, and they're going to ask me, what's your name? What should I tell them?" So the Arizal reveals that in those words themselves, where Moshe Rabbeinu said, "V'omru li ma shemoi mo oimar aleihem," they will say to me, "What is his name? What is Hashem's name? What should I say to them?" If you look at the last letters of those words, li ma shemoi mo, the last letters spell yud ke vav ke, exactly. And the Arizal says, Moshe Rabbeinu was saying, I know what your name is. But I know that that name of Hashem is not the name of Hashem that can help them right now. And Hashem said, "You're right. The name for now is Ekya. The name that's needed now for the Jews to connect to be able to get out of Golus is this name Ekya, Aleph Ke Yud Ke." And again, there are tremendous deep secrets about this. There's a pasuk in Tehillim where Dovid HaMelech says, "Al Yoshuv Dach Nichlom." Hashem, please do not, when a poor person stands before you praying, asking you for help, don't turn him away in shame and embarrassment that the person prayed with their whole heart and the person finishes and they don't get a response, chas v'shalom. So here again, the Arizal says the first letters of Al Yoshuv Dach Nichlom spell Hashem's name, Aleph Dalet Nun Yud. And this is all over the Torah. So one of the names of Hashem is the word Ato. When we say in Shmona Esrei, "Ato Gibor Le'olam Hashem," you Hashem are powerful. Rabbeinu Zal, when he made his pilgrimage to Eretz Yisrael, he traveled, in those days he traveled by horse and wagon and by boat. So Rabbeinu Zal left the city of Breslov and he traveled by horse and wagon till he got to Odessa. And from there, he took a boat to Istanbul, etc., etc. On the way, he stopped off in a city called Sokala. And there, Rabbeinu Zal told his students afterwards, he had a vision where Rabbi Menachem Mendel of Vitebsk, who was one of the students of the Baal Shem Tov, who had passed away many years before that, 10 years before that, Rabbi Menachem Mendel of Vitebsk came to Rabbeinu Zal and told him, "I'm going to help you. You're going to be traveling on the sea now." And travel by sea in those days was dangerous. So he said to him, "I'm going to reveal to you a name of Hashem that can help you. When there's a storm in the sea, this name of Hashem can help you to calm the storm and to be able to cross the sea in safety." And the name of Hashem that he revealed to him was this name, Ato. Shem Ato Mesugal Al Hayam. This name of Hashem has the power to calm the waves of the sea. The Hasoid, and the secret, the inner meaning to this is found in a pasuk in Tehillim, chapter 89, where the pasuk says, "Besoi galov," when the sea raises its waves, "Ato teshabchem," you Hashem quiet them down, you calm them down. Now, Rav Nosson Zal was not present at the time that Rabbeinu Zal revealed this. And he wasn't even connected to Rabbeinu Zal at the time. Reb Shimon Zal, who became Rabbi Nachman's student at Rabbi Nachman's bar mitzvah when he was 13 years old, Reb Shimon Zal said that he heard from Rabbeinu Zal the explanation for this. That we know that within the 13 attributes of kindness of Hashem, one of them is Rav Chesed. That Hashem has great kindness. The words Rav Chesed, Virav Chesed, Virav Chesed, Chesed is 72, and Virav is 208. So that the words Virav Chesed are begimatria 280. Reb Shimon Zal said that what the person has to do is write on, take five pieces of paper and write on them the words Virav Chesed. So again, the words Virav Chesed are 280. 5 times 280 is 1,400. That's the Aleph and the Tav. Aleph is 1, and Aleph is Elef, 1,000. So Aleph Tav, Elef Tav is 1,400, and the He of the word Atah is represented by the 5 pieces of paper. So a person needs to take the words Virav Chesed, write it on these 5 pieces of paper, and when, if the sea is stormy, it's raging, to throw these 5 pieces of paper into the sea, and this will calm the waves. And Reb Shimon said that when he traveled, he had a sofer write for him these words, Virav Chesed, on small pieces of parchment, and he once had an occasion that he had to use this, that there was a storm at sea, and he did this. He threw these 5 small pieces of parchment into the sea, and the waters became calm. This chapter is an unusual chapter. Rabbeinu Zal doesn't usually reveal these kind of things, but obviously Rabbeinu Zal felt that this was something for us important to know. We know that we have Tfilah Saderech, that when a Jew is crossing the sea, today we travel by plane usually, and still we know the Gemara says, Kol Hadrochim Becheska Sakona, that all roads and highways are dangerous. And a person needs to say a special prayer, a tefillah saderech, when we're traveling, to protect us from being harmed. Unfortunately, nowadays, every day just about this in Eretz Yisrael, we're hearing terrible accidents, terrible car accidents. And even a person traveling by car or leaving the house, person, it's advisable for a person to say a tefillah, asking Hashem that I should go safely and return safely to wherever a person is going. I remember my Rebbe, Reb Michal Dorfman, Zichron Levracha, who used to get up for Chatzos every night. He would get up before midnight, and he would go to the mikveh at that time, and he would come back and say special tefillos and learn. So the walk from his house to the mikveh was about 3 or 4 minutes. He lived about a quarter of a block away from the mikveh, for which he had the key, the Satmar Mikveh in Gula, which he was the first one to use it at 1 o'clock in the morning or 11:30 at night, depending when Chatzos is, in summer or winter. But he said that when he would leave his house, he would say a short tefillah, asking Hashem, I'm going out. He was going out sometimes alone at night. Even though it was a very religious neighborhood, safe, Geula, still to say a short tefillah, Hashem, watch over me, protect me. I shouldn't fall, nothing, no harm should become me. I just heard today from one of my daughters that my mechutin, one of my mechutanim, the mechutin of my oldest daughter, Yaakov Landau, he's a dentist, and he works sometimes very late hours, and last week, one night, he finished at 1 a.m. with a patient, and he was leaving work and going downstairs and fell down a flight of stairs. And this was outside the building. Luckily, fortunately, there was a young woman, 19-year-old woman, across the street who saw him. And she came across and she helped him up and she actually drove him home in his car. So we're talking current events that nobody knows. The person goes outside, the person doesn't know what could be. Not to assume anything, to always have a tefillah on our mouth. Person kisses the mezuzah. When they leave a place, when they come into a place, when a person puts their hand on the mezuzah, we know that a mezuzah is a shmira also, a protection, because we need all types of protection today. Rav Nosson Zal writes about this in Likutei Halachos and Choshen Mishpat, about shmira, that in the Shulchan Aruch there are laws of shomrim, hilcha shomrim, major chapters, and he writes that a Jew needs shmira all the time. In Meiriv, we say, Kikel Shoimreinu Umatzilenu Ato Shoimer Amo Yisrael Oat. We say special prayers, pleading with Hashem for Hashem to protect us. Any questions? The next chapter is something, again, very unusual and very interesting. Rabbeinu Zal bases this chapter on a pasuk in Chumash, where the pasuk says, "Ki sovoi becherem reyecho," when a Jew will enter into the vineyard of his friend, so you're permitted to, if your friend invites you in, you're allowed to take a grape from the vine and eat it, another few grapes, but you're not allowed to start packing a few pounds of grapes and put it into your briefcase, into your basket. That you're not allowed to do. A person is allowed to do that, and even a worker who's working the vine is allowed to eat what they need from the vines as they're working, but they're not allowed to pack a bag to take home with them. So this pasuk is talking about a person being careful about how much they eat. And Rabbeinu Zal is going to touch on this in this Torah. It begins with the words, Al Pi Maisa, that this Torah is based on an incident that took place in Rabbi Nachman's life, about which Shehinicha Lo Imo Tzavo, where his mother, Rabbi Nachman's mother, left him instructions, Shemi She'eno Yochoy Lesovloi, that any person whom he can't tolerate, Lo Yanichenu Li Oisetzloi, he should not allow that person to be in his presence. Ve'im Lav, and if he won't follow these instructions, Yitzarech Le'ezer Mehorechoikim Al Hakroivim Etzloi, he'll need assistance, he'll need help from those who are far from him regarding those who are close to him. Now this wording is very strange. Rav Nosson Zal says, V'yizbor b'makam achar, this will be explained in another place. This story appears in the unpublished writings of one of Rav Nosson Zal's students. His name was Rav Alter Teplicher. He's the one who wrote a number of Breslov Sforim that we have, Hishtabchus HaNefesh, Meshivas Nefesh, or Zoreach, the commentary on Haggadah. He wrote a number of Sforim, and he also had some of the writings that were not published. So there, this story appears, where shortly after Rabbi Nachman was married, remember, he got married when he was 13 years old. A short while later, he moved to the city of Osatin, where his in-laws lived. And he spent a few years there, and there Rabbeinu Zal was undercover. He was very hidden. Outside, when they were kids, he would play with them as if he was another teenager. But hiddenly, he was doing his devotions, his hispoidus deep, and his learning. And that was when he began, that was when his major rise took place, before he really revealed himself and started teaching students. So people didn't really know at the time at all how religious he really was, and the incredible advanced level of spirituality and holiness that he was holding by. And every year, Rabbi Nachman would make a trip to Mezhebuzh to visit his parents, his father Reb Simcha, his mother Fega, who lived in Mezhebuzh. And it was customary that when he would come, many of the relatives and close friends would come to welcome him, to see the young couple, in a sense. And in addition, it wasn't just close relatives. Sometimes it was a wider circle of family that would come. On one occasion, there was a young woman who was a distant relative of Rabbeinu Zal's, and she came at that time when Rabbeinu Zal and his wife had come to Mezhebuzh. She came and she became infatuated with Rabbeinu Zal. And she started actually making advances to him in an improper way. Because again, she didn't know, she had no idea how religious this person was and the level of devotion to Hashem. She thought he was another teenager in a sense, a young married man who was open to temptation. Rabbeinu Zal spurned her advances. He ignored it completely. However, the fact that he was tested in this way left him very distressed. He was very disturbed by this. And he rushed to tell his parents that he had to leave. He had to leave immediately, and sure enough, he left Mezhebuzh. This woman saw Rabbeinu Zal leaving, and she ran after the coach when he was leaving. And she yelled to him that your mother is very weak, and she asked me to to catch you, to catch up with you, to convince you to come back. Rabbi Nassal didn't listen to her, and he told the coach driver, hurry, quicker, let's get out of here. The next time he returned to Mezhebuzh to visit his parents, that was when his mother gave him this advice. We know that Rabbi Nassal's mother was known at that time to be a Balas Ruach HaKodesh. So she obviously knew things that would happen to him. And she said to him, she said to Rabbi Nassal, that if there's anyone that you can't tolerate, make sure not to allow them to be in your presence. Otherwise, you're going to require assistance from those who are far, meaning those who are not family members of student or students of yours, against those who are close to you, against a relative of yours. This is what his mother said to him. Years later, 20 years later approximately, when Rabbi Nassal moved to Breslov, and by that time he was already known as a tzaddik and he had many students, this woman, who was still living in the city of Mezhebuzh, and now she had heard that this young man that she knew about 20 years ago, that now he was one of the leading tzaddikim at the time, she was very embarrassed by how she had conducted herself with this promiscuous behavior. And she was looking to find a way to apologize, to ask for forgiveness from Rabbi Nassal. So what she did was she confided in her younger brother, who at the time of that original incident, he was about 4 years old at the time. And she asked her brother now to travel to Breslov and to go ask Rabbi Nachman to forgive her for what she had done 20 years ago and for him to prescribe to her what she has to do tshuva for the way she behaved. As soon as Rabbi Nachman saw this woman's brother, he recognized him, even though now he was in his mid-20s and he had a beard. Rabbi Nassal recognized him, and before the brother could say a word, Rabbi Nassal said, I can't have this person in my presence. Rabbi Nassal's daughter, Adel, who was aware of that statement of her grandmother, that her grandmother had once told her father that if ever somebody comes that you can't tolerate, keep them far away from you. So she tried to get the brother to leave, but she couldn't get him to leave. Just then, a person arrived from the city of Nemirov, which was about 10, 15 kilometers from Breslov, who came to see Rabbi Nachman. And this person was not one of Rabbi Nachman's students. He was, at that time, he was sort of a stranger. And Rabbi Nassal's daughter, Udl, explained to this person that there's a person now trying to see my father, and my father doesn't want to see him under any circumstances. And this person physically removed that brother from Rabbi Nachman's house. Now, the brother left. He found himself in the marketplace in Breslov, and he suddenly felt very hungry. And he noticed some plums for sale. Fruit, plums. But these plums weren't ripe. We know sometimes these fruit stores sell fruit that's not ripe, and they tell you, hold on to it for a few days and it'll be ripe. This man bought a large amount of these plums and went back to Rabbi Nachman's house and sat in an outer room and started eating these plums, one after another. And suddenly he got sick. He was doubled over in pain, and he started screaming that he's going to die. So people came running in to help him, and they picked him up, and they started carrying him to his hotel room. And while they were taking him, he died in the street. Following that man's death, Rabbi Nachman gave this shir that we're about to learn, and another shir where he speaks about the tremendous danger of eating fruit that's not ripe yet. This is a shir that appears in the second half of Likut Imran. I believe it's chapter 88, if I'm not mistaken. And afterwards, Rabbi Nassal said that the passing away of this brother had been a tikkun, a rectification, for his sister also. Now we begin the Torah. Rabbi Nassal explains, Ki kishe'oichel yoiser mitzorchoi, when a person eats more than they need to eat, Zeh ha-maichel mazikloi, that excess food will harm the person. The Rambam writes about this, and the Rambam writes that the majority, that overeating is like taking poison. And he writes that that's the main cause of all sicknesses, Rahmanul Islam. We know that today, unfortunately, this is an incredible plague that's plaguing the entire world, especially the Western culture, the United States, And unfortunately, it's come to Eretz Yisrael also. And they, when the government government offices that manage different statistics, they say that the statistics today of obesity are way, way, way beyond what it was years ago, unfortunately. And we know that today, Rahman al-Islam, people are plagued with all kinds of diseases and sicknesses. It's true, there are skinny people that are sick also sometimes. But this is definitely one of the major issues today. Rabbeinu Zal continues, Ki kol dovor yesh loy shoyresh, sheyesh loy chiyus mimenu. Because everything in the world has a source, a root, from which it draws its vitality, its chiyus. Kigoin, for example, hasamim, herbs, medicines, yesh lohem chiyus mimasho otam lokeach oisam lerefua. Their claim to fame, their existence, is because of the fact that people use these herbs and take these herbs for curing, for healing. V'chein hamacholim, and so too all types of foods, yesh lohem chiyus, Hashem gives them vitality, Hashem gives them energy, from the fact that human beings are going to eat these foods and draw life, draw vitality from these foods. This is what gives these foods their vitality, their energy. It's based on the fact that human beings are going to be eating these foods and benefiting from them. That's what gives that's why Hashem places vitality, chiyus, life energy into these foods. Aval kishoichel yoiser mitzorchoi. However, when a person eats more than what they need, ein lozeh hamaychol mimi lekabel chiyus, then that excess food that the person's eating has nowhere to draw vitality from. Because the person that's eating it doesn't need it at all. That person doesn't need that food at all. They're not going to draw any life energy from it. And therefore, this could be compared to the person not putting it in their mouth, but they're putting it into their basket. And therefore, the food is not receiving any vitality, any life from the basket. We said that the fact that foods have this life-giving energy is so that human beings should be able to benefit from that life-giving energy. But if a human being misuses the food, and the person is not hungry, and they're still eating, or they eat to excess, so then the person is not getting any life-giving energy from that food, so that the raison d'etre of that food goes away. So that food loses its chiyus. V'alkein, and therefore, ha-maychol mevakesh loy chiyus l'hachiyus atzmoy. Now, this excess food that the person's eating is not drawing chiyus from the person, so it's looking for source of chiyus. Vazai hu moitzi hachiyus shel hodom. And then what happens is, it starts drawing out, sucking out the person's own life. Vayideze hu mazik lohodom. And that's how it actually harms the person. Umachmaze nitzarfinimoy afilu shara macholim umazik loy. And once this happens, as a result, even other foods join in this, and they harm the person even more, chas v'shalom. So Rabbeinu Zal really wants us to realize how dangerous and how harmful it is for a person to eat excessively. That eating is something that has to be thought out very carefully. There are people very often who eat while they're reading or while they're doing other, they're not really thinking about what they're eating at the time that they're eating. And unfortunately, because of that, They don't really realize how much they're eating, and they're not it's not registering in their brain the food that they're eating, because the brain is somewhere else and they're still taking food in. And unfortunately, this is one of the things that causes chas v'shalom major harm to a person. There's a story with Rav Nosson Zal, I've mentioned it in the past, that someone once came to ask Rav Nosson Zal advice about a very important issue in their life. And Rav Nosson Zal was in the middle of eating a bowl of soup. And Rav Nosson Zal took a spoon and put it in his mouth slowly. And then he put the spoon down. and waited a little bit. And then he picked up the spoon again, took another spoonful and took it. And he was thinking about what the person said to him. And the person said, Rabbi, could you hurry up a little? I have to go somewhere. You know, if you could hurry a little bit. So Rav Nosson Zal looked at him and said, you don't understand. For me to make a decision as to whether to take another spoonful of soup or not, that takes thought. That takes thinking. That takes a pause, going slowly. You're asking me for advice on something that's going to affect your entire life, and you think it's bim-bam, you think it's fast food, it doesn't go that way. So we see how, when Rav Nosson Zal ate, and if a person watches, you know, the way people who are really religious and really connected to Hashem, when they eat the right way. Rabbeinu Zal said that when a person is eating, even if nobody's there at the time, the person should picture that they're sitting in front of a king. And with the kind of respect and with the kind of care and slowness that a person would eat in the presence of a king, that's how the person should eat when they're alone, even. Rabbeinu Zal continues now, V'zeh v'yochalto kenafshech osovecho. This is the meaning of what the Pasuk says. We quoted the Pasuk earlier, that when a person will go into his neighbor's vineyard, that the Torah says, you're allowed to eat grapes to your soul's content, but you're not allowed to put any of it into your basket. So it says, V'yochalto kenafshecho sovecho, eat to your soul's content. Lo yoiser, not more than that. Why? Ve'el kel yecho lo yisitein. Don't put it into your basket. Hainu sheloi toichal yoiser mitzorkecho. Don't eat more than you really need. Because when you do that, then it's like taking the food and putting it into a basket. Since you don't really need that food, you're not really, really hungry. And therefore, that food is not going to draw any healthy energy from you. And unfortunately, that food, if you'll continue eating, that food will sap your strength, chas v'shalom. And it could actually sap a person's life, chas v'shalom. So in this chapter, Rabbeinu Zal spoke about eating excessively. In the other chapter that we mentioned earlier, in the second half of Likutei Moran, Torah Peiches, chapter 88, Rabbeinu Zal speaks about the incredible danger of eating a fruit before it's fully ripened. And there he explains that the food draws energy in order for it to develop from the tree that it's connected to. When you take it off the tree before it's fully ripe, at that point, it still needs energy. It's still sucking. It's sucking energy. And if it's not connected to the tree, if a person pops that fruit into their mouth, that fruit will suck energy, life energy, from the person. And it could cause tremendous harm, tremendous damage. Any questions? Torah Reish Nun Ches, chapter 258. Kishayesh machloikes al ha'odom. When a person encounters opposition, people that are fighting with them, arguing with them, that could cause the person to actually go off the path of serving Hashem, to turn the person away from Hashem, and to cause that person to fall from whatever level of religiousness the person is on. Machloikis is something that's very dangerous and very harmful. And this is why Dovra Melech prides himself and praises himself in Tehillim when he says to Hashem, Rabim roidfai vitzorai. Hashem, many are my persecutors and enemies, had many enemies and many people who made machloikas against me. And still, despite that, me edoisecho loinotisi. I did not turn away from your laws, from your commandments, from the Torah. Sha'af shohoyolov machloikas rabim, even though Dovid HaMelech had major, major opposition from Shaul HaMelech, from his son Avshalom, from Shimi Ben Gera, all kinds of people, im kol ze loinoto miderech Hashem Yisporach. He still remained 100% loyal and devoted to Hashem. He didn't allow himself to get knocked off the level that he had achieved in closeness to Hashem. And again, we're being told this for us to know how dangerous machlokas is in terms of us carrying on any machlokas against anybody else, chas v'shalom, or when a person is experiencing machlokas, to be careful to make sure to pray very hard to Hashem that it shouldn't harm one's loyalty and devotion to Hashem. Torah Reish Nun Tes, chapter 259, Rabbein Azal tells us something incredibly encouraging here. Kishe'odam misboided u'mefaresh sichosoy v'tzaroy lefnei Hashem yisborach. When a person secludes themselves to pour out their heart to Hashem, to tell Hashem about all the pain that they're going through, all their struggles in life, everything they're going through, that's called hisboidedus. U'misvadeh, and the person also confesses any sins they committed. U'mischaret, and the person expresses genuine regret. Al goydel hapigomim she'asa, for the regretting the enormity of the sins that they committed. Azai gam hashchina kenegdoi mefareshes lefonov sichoso v'tzara. Then the divine presence of Hashem, the Shechina of Hashem, also pours out its heart to the person, and it tells the person its pain. It expresses its pain, how it's suffering and struggling. Umenachem esoisoi, and consoles the person, offers consolation and condolences to the person. Ki kol pegamu pegam shepogam benishmosoi, because every single blemish and stain that a person causes to their own soul by the sins we commit, by all the things that we do wrong, pogam etzlo gamken kaviochol, also causes a blemish in the Shechina. The divine presence of Hashem, the Shechina, is affected clearly by what we do. The Baal Shem Tov quoted a pasuk, Hashem tzilcha, Hashem is your shadow. Just like a shadow, when I pick up my hand, if you look at the shadow moves with me. Every move I make, the shadow makes a corresponding move. So too, everything a Jew does affects the Shechina. And when we bring harm to ourselves, that also causes harm, chas v'shalom, to the divine presence of Hashem. V'zeh b'chinas, this is what the pasuk says in Chumash Dvorim, Es Hashem he'emarto, v'Hashem he'emircho. You spoke to Hashem, and Hashem speaks to you. You declared Hashem, and Hashem declared to you. V'hi menachem esoisoi, and the Shechina consoles the person, she'tevakesh tachbulois l'sakein kol ha'pegomim, that the person shouldn't give up, the person shouldn't quit, but rather, I will help you. I will help find tricks and ways to assist you to correct, to repair all the sins you committed, all of these blemishes on your neshama. This concept is mentioned in one or two other places in Likut Imran also, where Rabbein Azal shows this concept that when a person is pouring out their heart to the Shechina, Kaviyochel, the Shechina is also pouring out its heart to the person. We have something similar to this in the first story of Sipurei Maaseyos, the story of the lost princess, where when the viceroy, the king, finally locates her, and then he eats from the apple, and he drinks from the wine, and he falls asleep, the princess comes to where he is, and she cries, she pours out her heart, telling him how much she also was hoping so much that he would take her out of this exile, that he would be able to bring her back to the palace and everything. That also is alluding to what we're saying here now. Baruch Hashem. Any questions before we close? I'd like to add a note. Today is my birthday, Chof Beis Teves, and the Zohar HaKadosh says that a birthday is a day that a person's mazel shines. We know that the Torah speaks about Paroi's birthday party. So if the mazel is shining, we want to use it to wish everybody that Hashem should fulfill all of each one's good desires, everything that a person wants that's really good for us, Hashem should grant us. He should grant us good health and simcha, and yiddish and achas from children, yamale and a geula shlema, a complete and final redemption with the coming of Moshiach, b'mehera v'yameinu. Amen.
Happy birthday, Rav Maimon.
Thank you, thank you. A wonderful week with mazel and bracha to all.
I missed what you just said.
Amen. Have a good week.
Amen. Thank you.
Thank you.